This is a Shift Podcast Network production.
Welcome to Here and Back Again. I'm David O'Callaghan, and this is a podcast looking at all things releasing weekly on streaming and in cinemas, with your usual bit of pop culture bits thrown in. Well, I really do hope you managed to catch up on some of last week's contents and are keeping your head above water. I'm telling you, this is just mad. And if you think it's going to slow down, no, it ain't slowing down, folks, because there are some absolute crackers in this week's releases. And there's no time to waste. So, shall we begin?
It was the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen. I played for 5 minutes. I still see falling blocks in my dreams. It's poetry, art and math, all working in magical synchronicity. It's the perfect game. Tetris?
Tetris.
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 Tetris. I don't get it.
It's a combination of tetra, Greek for four, and tennis.
Tennis.
The Russian inventor, he likes tennis. Hazel.
Yeah. This game isn't just addictive. It stays with you. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
First up this week, we have Tetris on Apple TV Plus, which is a fictionalized movie and look at the creation of Tetris and the story of how Hank Rogers, played by Taron Egerton, discovered Tetris in 1988 and then made a daring trip to the Soviet Union to help inventor Alexei Pachitnov bring Tetris to the masses and make video game history. Absolutely fascinating looking movie. John S. Baird, who did the Stan and Ollie movie, directs this one. Listen, what's not to love? Absolutely fantastic. All aboard the nerd train. You just gotta do it. I'm loving it. I'm all in. Tetris, one of the most annoying games ever. But who cares? Because this is a box office start to the week. So that is Tetris the movie, now on Apple TV Plus. Beep, boop, beep, beep, boop, boop. No, that's just a really bad impression. Moving on.
Yo, Raja.
Yo, Nick. The Maharaja is getting married.
What?
This weekend, I'm on new private island, and I want you to come.
Do you remember what happened last time we went on a getaway?
Yeah, some people died.
Not so, a lot of people.
You'd think five people dying's a lot.
Without doubt, going to be one of the most watched movies on streaming over the weekend, Murder Mystery 2 is now on Netflix. 4 years after solving their first murder mystery, Adam Sandler and Jennifer Aniston return as Nick and Audrey Spitz, who are now full-time detectives struggling to get their private eye agency off the ground. When they're invited to celebrate the wedding of their friend, the Maharaja, on his private island, trouble yet again follows the Spitzes when the groom is kidnapped for ransom soon after the festivities begin, making each glamorous guest, family member, and the bride herself a suspect. Let's not lie here. The first movie was well dodged. Yet, we all watched it. Oh, you know you did. We couldn't take our eyes off it. And well, feck it again. We're going to watch this one too. Bailing in. Glass onion. It ain't. It's probably more like a crass bunion. Yeah, that was really bad. I'll get my coat. But before I get my coat, I should remind you that Murder Mystery 2 is now on Netflix.
Today we have a story that's going to change the world.
This is in Nigeria. Electricity coming out of their hands.
All teenage girls.
Mom, I know some can like aim it.
How does yours work? Hey, hey!
There was one girl I'd say was a mutation. But it's hundreds and thousands.
Over on Prime Video, The Power is Amazon's 10-part adaptation of Naomi Alderman's feminist sci-fi award-winning book of the same name, and is set in an alternate world where all teenage girls suddenly gain the power to electrocute people at will, which naturally has a major impact on the balance of power in every society on the planet. The series adaptation comes from Alderman herself, along with an all-female writing staff, while the all-female directing staff is led by The Handmaid's Tale's Reed Morano. The cast is led by Toni Collette and John Leguizamo. New episodes stream weekly, with the first three dropping today. Listen, it's a cracker of a book, absolutely brilliant, and should definitely appeal, as mentioned, to any Handmaid's Tale fans out there. And actually, when the book was released, got a huge endorsement from Margaret Atwood. Nothing like a bit of quality dystopian madness. So that is The Power, now on Prime Video. And don't forget, the book is also available in your local bookstore. Read it before you see it. Read it after you see it. Just read it, because it's really good. In the non-English section this week, we have an absolute must-watch. I mean, get in. It's an insane Korean action thriller, and it's called Kill Boksoon. So that's on Netflix. It tells the tale of a single mother who is a renowned hired killer that finds it difficult to achieve a balance between her personal and work life. Some reviews have even compared the action sequences and vibes of the movie to the Kill Bill era of Tarantino. That is the ridiculously over-the-top Korean action thriller with a heart of gold. Maybe. Maybe not. But we're all in because we love Korean action thrillers. Yes. So Kill Boksoon is now on Netflix. Also on Netflix this week, we have Copycat Killer, which comes from Taiwan. This is a series where a serial killer takes advantage of the media interest over his murders, manipulating their victims, police, and the media itself. Step forward, a tenacious prosecutor and his team who must brace for a cat-and-mouse game against this dangerous manipulator. Yeah, that sounds quite interesting. That's the new series, Copycat Killer, now on Netflix.
Has that always been there?
That thing will tell you your life's potential.
Where'd you get it?
No idea. It just appeared like magic.
You know what I got? Superstar.
Well, I got dancer.
Male model.
Make it stop.
What's going on? Why is everybody trying to change their lives overnight?
We're getting a divorce.
The Morpho inspired us.
What was your card?
Healer. Assigned to engage in self-healing.
Or maybe it meant doctor, as in the profession that you do every day.
Coming from some of the folks behind Schitt's Creek and adapted from the M.O. Walsh novel, The Big Door Prize on Apple TV Plus is set in a small southern town where a mysterious photo booth size machine appears out of nowhere in a grocery store. For just a few dollars, the machine promises to reveal each customer's true destiny, a promise which prompts the local townspeople to make drastic changes to their lives. Chris O'Dowd plays his usual bumbling self and is worried about the machine's potential to unbalance the townspeople's previously chilled and tranquil lives. Looks like a bit of crack. 3 episodes have now dropped, and then it'll be single episodes every week on Wednesdays for the next 7 weeks. Yeah, you gotta, you know, shrinking is over. You need a little comedy in your life. That is The Big Door Prize, now on Apple TV Plus. Over on Disney Plus, Kindred is adapted from Octavia E. Butler's 1979 novel Kindred, which tells the story of writer Dana, played by Mallory Johnson, whose nightmares about living during the era of slavery start to become so horribly real they resemble time travel. When her white boyfriend Kevin finds himself in this parallel universe too, shit really starts to kick off. That's Kindred, now on Disney Plus. And over on Netflix, Unseen is a South African crime thriller in which a house cleaner desperately searches for her husband, who's been just released from prison, but has disappeared. As a dreaded criminal syndicate dredges up past tragedies, it all ultimately drives her to violence, and a lot more violence, and by the looks of things, all the violence. So that is the miniseries Unseen, which is now on Netflix.
You're my pick.
Liv is going to be a judge on a very cool new cooking show.
I've got to go to Australia for the weekend.
Welcome home.
Horrible cholesterol levels, insane blood pressure. I can't pass you.
It's the first step to get a green card.
I'm going to get so well that I'm going to smash that stupid medical. I'm going to get back to New York and I'm going to be the best TV judge that the world's ever seen. Watch me. Can we please stop? This is horrible. Whoa. I jogged for the first time. I feel like we'd by a truck. Bondi Cleanse. This 4-day regime of fasting, herbal laxatives, acupuncture, cupping, and fecal purging.
All right.
Lovely weather we're having lately.
It really is, isn't it? Lovely out there. Yeah.
It's all about Australia these days, folks, because first we had Class of 07 a few weeks back on Prime Video, which was very entertaining. And now we have Wellmania on Netflix. This is an Australian comedy series, and as I said, it seems to be all the rage, and I am here for the madness. Adapted from Bridget Delaney's 2017 novel, this comedy drama series stars Celeste Barber as Liv Healy, a deeply unhealthy Australian food blogger who is denied a US green card on the grounds of unfitness. Via a mix of gross-out comedy and snarky scepticism, it tracks her journey through various wellness fads as she attempts to reclaim her career. Can the snark remain for the whole season, or will it have a Hollywood ending about finding oneself through a message of being kind and blah, 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 blah? Whatever. Hopefully not. Doesn't matter. I'm all in. I'm on the Australian comedy train. I don't know what's going on over there, but they're churning out some decent shows. This is Wellmania, which is now on Netflix. Over on Disney Plus, we have the new movie Prom Pact. It's the height of prom season, and high school senior Mandy Yang and her best friend and fellow outsider Ben are surrounded by over-the-top 80s themed promposals. Promposals? Didn't even know such a word existed. But anyway, however, Mandy keeps her eyes focused on a different goal, her lifelong dream of attending Harvard. When she finds out that she has been put on the wait list, she's determined to do whatever she can to get herself accepted, even if that means asking for help from the one person she abhors, popular all-star jock Graham Lansing, whose father is a powerful senator and Harvard alum. So she becomes his tutor, and yes, you know it, people. Everything is not as it seems, and he seems like a nice guy, and oh, Sir God, there you go, here we are. We've seen the movie before, we don't need to watch it, but you know what? I love a bit of cliche. I do love a bit of cute prom-com. Is prom-com a thing? Well, it is now. Anyway, that's Prom Pact, which is now on Disney+. Also on Disney+, this week, we have Season 2 of Doogie Kamiloa, M.D., Peyton Elizabeth Lee again appears in this one. She was in Prom Pack, so she's having a cracker week. This well-reviewed series is exactly what you think. Dougie Hauser fans obviously appreciate it and loves it. She's a child prodigy and attempts to juggle her teenage life and family while also having that early medical career, but also trying to balance her relationship with her mother, who is also her boss. Oh, my God. Anyway, Doogie Kamiloa, M.D., is now streaming Season 2 on Disney+. Eva the Outlet on Apple TV Plus is one for the smallies this week and is Apple's latest children's series adapted from a book, and the book being Rebecca Elliott's Owl Diaries. It follows Eva, a creative, cheeky owlet who lives next door to her best friend Lucy in the woodland world of Tree Toppington. Tree Toppington. Say that with a fruit pastel. Anyway, does what it says in the tin. Eva the Outlet is now on Apple TV Plus. And finally this week, we have Unstable from Netflix. Rob Lowe stars opposite his real-life son, John Owen Lowe, in an 8-episode comedy that finds Rob playing an eccentric biotech leader recovering from the death of his wife, while simultaneously trying to save his company and salvage his relationship with his estranged son. Looks half decent. Sure, why not? Unstable is now streaming on Netflix. And that, folks, is your streaming for the week. Some absolute humdingers dropping this week. What is not to love? As for cinema, well, we have an absolute cracker for you this week. Plus a few others.
Truth be told, we helped the wrong person steal the wrong thing. We didn't mean to unleash the greatest evil the world has ever known. But we're gonna fix it.
So how do we pull that off?
Figure it out over a drink?
Probably best.
You need cooling!
Then give us a fighting chance.
We're gonna need strength.
You got this, right?
I know you don't.
We also need courage.
Back to school.
Magic. And you.
First up this week, we have Dungeons and Dragons, Honor Among Thieves, based on the role-playing tabletop game, recently gaining a resurgence, probably due to Stranger Things, amongst other things, and a lot of famous, very famous fans of the game. In this one, we see a charming thief, played by Chris Pine, and a band of unlikely adventurers embark on an epic quest to retrieve a long-lost relic. But their wondrous adventure goes dangerously awry, completely badly wrong when they run afoul of the dodgiest of people. Folks, this is it. This is the most fun you'll experience in the cinema so far this year. You don't need to know anything about Dungeons & Dragons, but if you're a bit of a nerd and you do love your Dungeons & Dragons, there's loads of Easter eggs in there for the hardcore heads. Chris Pine is in proper Into the Woods mode and is simply hilarious and a fantastic, wonderful leader for this ragtag crew. Michelle Rodriguez is friggin' awesome and has some absolutely amazing action sequences. Justice Smith is brilliant as the hapless, nerdy magician. He's quite perfect, actually. As is Sophia Lillis as the shapeshifter. What a crew. Hey, and even Regé Jean Page is, even though he's technically not part of the crew, every scene he appears in, he completely steals with a brilliantly dry performance. This one comes from the directors of Game Night, and I cannot recommend this fantasy flick enough. I've already booked in for my second album in the IMAX after the weekend. Imagine Princess Bride with a $150 million budget, and it's all up there on screen for you to see, to enjoy, to chuckle away with, because you will chuckle. It's an absolute corker. Love it. Go. Please go see it. You will enjoy yourself. Get all the popcorn in. That is Dungeons & Dragons, Honor Among Thieves, now in cinemas. Also released this week is The Night of the 12th. It is said that every investigator has a crime that haunts them, a case that hurts them more than others, without them necessarily knowing why. For Johan, that case is the murder of Clara. This French movie recently received 10 nominations at the César Awards, which are the French Oscars, and won in 6 categories. Best Film, Director, Supporting Actor, Promising Actor, etc, etc, etc. Definitely one for fans of French procedural thrillers. Arriving with all the buzz, that is The Night of the 12th, now in cinemas. And finally in cinemas this week for the smallies is Mummies. Sketchy is more like. 3 ancient mummies end up in present-day London and embark on a journey in search of an old ring belonging to the royal family, stolen by the ambitious archaeologist Lord Carnaby. With the voice cast of Sean Bean, Eleanor Tomlinson, Hugh Bonneville and Joe Thomas. Oh, listen, it'll keep them occupied until Mario turns up next week. Super Mario is going to blow everybody out the door. But for now, Mummies is in cinemas. And that is your cinema. Some well dodge, and you may have noticed some pretty epic. Highly recommended. Did I recommend Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe I didn't. Maybe I should do it again. Anyway, shut up. Some new music this week. Only one to talk about. Boy Genius. New album, The Record. They are an American indie supergroup formed in 2018 by Julian Baker, Phoebe Bridgers and Lucy Dacus. After a few EPs, their debut album, The Record, is now out there in the ether and is a most wonderful thing. Reviews have been absolutely off the chart, ridiculous, sensational. People are losing their mind. And yes, they're coming to Kilmainham in August. Woo-hoo-hoo. So now would definitely be the time for you to bail in and embrace this Americana folk scene. Oh yeah, brilliant artists at the top of their game. Yeah, love it. That is the new album, The Record, from Boy Genius, which is now out there for your ears to embrace. And there you go. There's your music. There's your cinema. There's your streaming for the week. As I said, absolute crackers, absolute box office, so much stuff. And you can't slow down, people. You cannot slow down because there's even crazier shit next week. So keep churning away. Keep struggling. Keep breaking through that wall and, you know, be a hero. Be a hero to yourself and whoever. Pop culture. Is there anything happening? Do I even have 3 things in pop culture this week? Let me check. Ah, yes. Three little things here. Nothing crazy, but some half-decent stories. First up, we have Quentin Tarantino has confirmed that his 10th movie and what looks like to be his last movie will be called The Movie Critic and is set in 1977 with a female lead at its center. After this one, he says he is most likely to head off to write books and maybe write for the theatre. There you go. No casting or anything has been confirmed yet, but The Movie Critic from Quentin Tarantino is prepping for production as we speak, or as I speak. Anyway, next up we have House of the Dragon will get an abbreviated second season going from 10 episodes to 8 But this is not Warner Discovery skimping on costs, but more simply a case of storytelling fitting the 8-episode model, rather than padding it out just for the sake of having 10. Yeah, I like that. I like, you know, lean, mean machine. Season 3 hasn't been greenlit by HBO yet, but with production of Season 2 starting this month, it feels inevitable that it will happen due to the massive success of the show. And finally this week, it looks like Matthew McFadden will be joining the cast of Deadpool 3. Ooh, very interesting. With Ryan Reynolds, Hugh Jackman and The Crown's Emma Corrin already confirmed, McFadden's role is unknown, but his character is being described as being a third wheel to Deadpool and Wolverine. Hot off the success of playing Tom in Succession, Reynolds is seemingly a big fan of this show and of Tom. Good old Tom, who isn't a fan of Tom, and felt he was an obvious fit for the role. And there you go. Quite enough week for the old pop culture gossip, but not bad. Anyway, I'm distracted now because I'm more focused on watching everything before the next lot drop. Because we can't be falling behind, people. We cannot be falling behind. So, have a good one, folks. And with that, this is David O'Callaghan for the Here and Back Again podcast. Wishing you all the best. And until next week, stay safe and binge happy. Well, hello there, my curious friends. Hey, we're back. Always looking, always wondering, always hoping for more quality content. Well, you've come to the wrong place. Or maybe you keep forgetting to turn off the podcast and we keep turning up to surprise you. But hey, who cares? We're here now. And because of a particular approaching holiday, we're going to talk about Easter eggs. Not actual chocolate Easter eggs, but Easter eggs in movies. They're like hidden treats for hardcore fans who will nod knowingly at some random image, some weird spoken reference, or even an item in movie which has a hidden, deeper meaning. For example, in Back to the Future, in the beginning of the film, Marty meets Doc Brown at Twin Pines Mall in 1985. But when he returns to 1985, at the end, the mall has been renamed. This is because when Marty first arrives in 1955, he accidentally knocks down a pine tree with the DeLorean when frantically escaping the Peabody Farm. Hence why the mall is later known as Lone Pine Mall. What? Love it. Love it. Or, in the first Scream movie, Henry Winkler's high school principal senses danger and scans the hallways for the murderous Ghostface. But his search leads him only to high school janitor, Fred, who was actually played by director Wes Craven, dressed as horror icon Freddy Krueger in his infamous black and red jumper and hat. Krueger obviously is a creation who first appeared in Craven's earlier film, A Nightmare on Elm Street. Yes, I could go on all day. These little nuggets, or little eggs. But where does the term Easter egg come from? Well, here's the thing. There are two schools of thought on this. So the first belief, it seems originated from a 1980 video game called Adventure for the Atari 2600, or 2600 game console, programmed by employee Warren Robinett. At the time, Atari did not include programmers' names in the game's credits to prevent competitors from poaching its developers. Robinett, who really did not agree with this, actually totally bleed and disagreed with his supervisor over his lack of acknowledgement, secretly programmed the message created by Warren Robinett to appear only if a player moves their avatar over a specific pixel, dubbed the grey dot, during a certain part of the game, and enters a previously forbidden part of the map where the message can be found. When Robinett left Atari, He did not inform the company of this acknowledgement that he included in the game. Shortly after his departure, the grey dot and his message were discovered by a player. Atari's management initially wanted to remove the message and release the game again, until it all proved a bit too costly. So instead, Steve Wright, the director of software development, suggested Joa keep the message and in fact encourage the inclusion of such messages in future games, describing them as the Easter eggs for consumers to find. So there you go. That's Exhibit A. Interesting. Or maybe you've fallen asleep. Anyway, I'm going to keep going. Easter Egg version 2 is more specific and movie-led and involves the Rocky Horror Picture Show. One day when filming on set, the cast and crew had an Easter egg hunt, because it must have been around Easter, but not a very successful Easter egg hunt. Because when the film was completed and finally released in cinemas, eagle-eyed fans started to notice random Easter eggs on the screen, kind of hidden away under chairs and in the corner under a curtain, whatever. And the term Easter egg was coined for movies, as people went down the rabbit hole of watching the movie over and over, trying to spot more Easter eggs. Maybe it's together they both helped the phrase Easter egg go over the years, but either way, it's a very common thing now, as can be seen in this week's Dungeons & Dragons movie, where sneaky references to the board game are hidden away for fans to spot. And there you go. I know, you're enthralled and wish I could talk forever and tell you more, but alas, I do need to get this pod edited and out into the world. So until next time, ciao Ricardo.